I call the House Education Policy Committee to order. There is a quorum present. Representative Falconer, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes from Tuesday, March 24th? And if so, would you like to make a motion to approve them?
Thank you, Chair. Knowing your penchant for being a stickler on minutes, I am actually reading them. They do seem to be in order, so I'm going to go ahead and move them.
Great. Representative Falconer moves to approve the minutes from Tuesday, March 24th. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay, we're going to get started today. We've got some stuff to get through. First on our list is House File 60. Is Representative Cardi here? Yes, great. Well, members, it's our intention to hear this bill and lay it over for future consideration. Representative Cardi, please make your way to the testifiers table, get settled. And while you're doing that, since you're not a committee member, I will make the motion to move House File 60 before the committee. And I also understand you have an author's amendment. We will move to adopt that now. Any discussion to the House File 60 amendment? Actually, we're going to wait to adopt that amendment. It's being printed at this moment, so we'll come back and adopt that amendment once members have had a chance to lay it over. But while we're waiting for that, Representative Cardi, can you talk to your bill?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chair Jordan and committee for letting me come here today. The purpose of House File 60 is to make sure that our kids that have been identified with dyslexic characteristics actually get some servicing. So the READ Act has done a whole lot to make sure that our teachers are trained in the science of reading. But with that being said, being trained on dyslexia characteristics is somewhat different. So this bill would require Pelsby to adopt rules that would impact the reading. That would impact their training, teachers' renewal training, by like 2 hours, one time only. So it's not extending, it's not having them do more hours of professional development, but this training would be specifically regarding dyslexia. And in addition to that, the Department of Education would provide no-cost training options, three no-cost training options, including free online courses that would help them be able to reach that. So.
Thank you. We are going to move on to testimony next. Our first testifier is joining us remotely. It looks like Sarah Florkey is with us. If you can hear me, turn your video on, unmute yourself, state your name for the record, and then proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Jordan, Bennett, and education policy members. My name is Sarah Flerke. I'm a private practitioner and reading interventionist. I'm up here in Duluth. In addition to working with my own clients who struggle with literacy, I also train educators in the science of reading and structured literacy through programs recognized under the Minnesota READ Act. I'm here today, though, to speak to a specific question which is coming up. Have educators already received enough training on dyslexia through the READ Act? From my experience with the professional development provider, the READ Act trainings are not specific to dyslexia. They are specific to the science of reading instruction per the READ Act. The purpose of the professional development programs under the READ Act is to build a foundation in the science of reading using structured literacy in order to benefit as many readers as possible. What these trainings do not provide is the kind of purposeful, in-depth, professional development that equips educators to understand the specific needs of dyslexic students. Things like accommodations or comorbidities like mental health, ADHD, behavior, commonly associated with dyslexia. Dyslexia is introduced in these professional development programs, but it is not taught in a way that prepares teachers to respond to it in the classroom. That distinction really matters. Minnesota is supposed to screen early and identify students who show characteristics of dyslexia. That's a great policy. However, identification without corresponding educator training leaves a gap in the classroom. I see it every day. Our in-service teachers need intentional, dyslexia-specific professional development so they can act on the data that we're now requiring them to collect. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on my list is Kimberly Zytek. Please correct my pronunciation of your name, introduce yourself, and then proceed with your testimony.
It's Kimberly Zytek. Co-chairs Jordan, Bennett, and members of the House Education Policy Committee. My name is Kimberly Zytek. I'm a member of the Dyslexia Coalition, a dyslexic adult, and a parent of a dyslexic child. I'm here today to urge you to support HF 60, which would require just 2 hours of dyslexia professional development for licensure renewal. Growing up, school was incredibly difficult for me. My dyslexia was never identified, and like many dyslexic students, I learned ways to hide my struggles and fell through the cracks of the school system. What has been most surprising to me decades later, my daughter's experience has looked very similar to mine. When she showed signs of dyslexia, even in pre-K, I immediately recognized the signs and asked the school about dyslexia, but her struggles were repeatedly dismissed, and the word dyslexia was often avoided altogether. Even after persistent pushing for an evaluation through the district, our family ultimately had to pay for a private neuropsych evaluation to get answers. That evaluation confirmed she had dyslexia. She's here with me today. Many families cannot afford these evaluations, which put many students at risk to be unidentified and unsupported. One night while we were reading together, she looked up at me and said something I'll never forget. "Mommy, why is it so easy for everyone else but me?" In that moment, I realized the shame I carried as a child was beginning to pass on to the next generation. Through this process, it became very clear teachers want to help. Many simply don't know how. I've had multiple educators tell me directly they never received dyslexia training. The Minnesota READ Act is a big step in the right direction for improving literacy. Schools are now required to screen students for characteristics of dyslexia, but many educators are not trained on how to recognize these signs and what to do next. So families are left without answers, and students are left without support they need. Dyslexia is often misunderstood as a reading issue. Dyslexia affects spelling, writing, memory, following directions, and often a child's self-esteem and mental health. This bill just asks for 2 hours of professional development to help educators recognize dyslexia earlier and better support these students. Right now, 170,000 students need this in our state. I respectfully urge you to support HF 60. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Members, we are still working on that amendment, but we will move to member discussion starting with Representative Keeler. And just for the record, we also have Ms. Berger here to help answer technical questions. So Representative Keeler.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Representative Clardy, for the bill. I'm dyslexic, and so I can relate to your story, and it was like until middle school until somebody even realized that it was dyslexia, and that was like a long time ago, and we're still living in that space. So I want to start by saying I agree. I think our teachers need to do better. Not better, I think they just need to know more. So I have a couple questions because I really get worried about how much training we keep putting on teachers and just saying it's just 2 hours. It's not. It's just like we're stacking it on top of other trainings. And I just said this, I don't even remember, yesterday on your bill, through the READ Act, we're extending more training, which means then our kids aren't in school or it's putting more burden on our teachers. And so I have a question about the 2 hours of training. Is it additional training to what teachers like would already need to do for their relicensing, or is it just 2 hours as an option so we're not actually asking more of teachers? That's my first question I'll just give. And then I guess the second question I ask is, we're putting a lot on our licensed teachers now. I'm not totally sure we're having the conversation about like our teacher training programs. Like, our kids go to college to become teachers. And so, like, our teachers aren't coming out of our Minnesota universities or colleges with any dyslexia training. Why aren't we going to the university systems who are training our teachers to make sure that our teachers are coming out well-trained, rather than always capturing them in their professional field and telling them, you need more training? Those are my two questions. Thanks, Chair.
Great. Ms. Berger.
Chair Jordan, as a dyslexic, my working memory is sometimes compromised. The first question was?
2 hours.
Representative
Keeler.
2 hours. 2 hours.
All right. So this two-hour training is designed to fit within the five-year renewal. This is not in addition to. This isn't tacking on more hours during that renewal process. This fits within the flexibility of that one time only during the career of an educator on that five-year renewal. We also were careful to ensure that the timeline for this would be after READ Act training was completed, that first round, because we wanted to be sensitive to all that the educators have been doing through READ Act training, and we are deeply appreciative of that. Second question, Chair Jordan, and if Chair Keeler, higher education. Okay. So we are doing a lot within our teacher prep programs. And so our pre-service teachers, a requirement that passed in 2019 requiring our educator prep programs and our higher education institutions would now require students to receive training in dyslexia. So we're catching those that are entering the field. Right now, this bill is designed to shore up a gap for those that are currently in service and bringing those things together.
Representative Keeler.
Thanks, Chair. That was really helpful. Thank you. And thank you for being mindful in the way that you approach that. I think sometimes we just like to add more training onto our teachers, and so I appreciate the clarification for that. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Chair Jordan. And thank you for your story, and thank you for your story. And Rachel Berger, thank you for your story. And your daughter over there, I was watching her as you were speaking. Keep going. As a teacher myself, thank you for being brave enough to keep going. I appreciate that. And thank you for being here with your mom. I am an author on the bill with Representative Clardy, and so I know how important this is. I'm looking at the amendment, the DE, that we now have in front of us. And I just want to make sure that what you're saying is how the bill is reading. Because we had talked about what this would look like for how to amend this. Mm-hmm. Currently, you're saying this is only one time that they have to go through this training, but yet the bill reads differently. It just says any time sections during to include the renewal requirements of 2 hours of professional development. I'm trying to find where it just says this is only one time. This is on line 3.8 to 3.10. So I don't understand if this is actually, you're just doing this once. I did see in for tier one and tier two, it says by 2028, the tiers have a different renewal time. So each year, tier one has to be renewed. Tier two has to be renewed every 2 years. And like tier four has to be renewed every 5 years. And so my, I'm sorry. Tier three is every 3 years, I think you said. So I just need a little bit more clarity because I don't think the bill is reading how you meant it to read. And honestly, and thank you for your indulgence, Chair Jordan, it would, in my opinion, it would make more sense. Yes, we go upstream. Yes, we make sure that we have this. But it would make more sense as we continue, even after, no matter what, we still always have to have reading CEUs. Always, we always have to. And so reallocating our 128 CEUs or 125 or however it is now to say, hey, you have to have 2 hours of reading and one of them has to be dyslexia, I don't think it's much of a stretch to just say, hey, we'll just reallocate them. And then every 5 years for you know a professional, for a tier four, I mean, that would make sense. But it does get more difficult when you're talking about a tier one teacher that has to be done every year. So that's a long question of saying I don't understand if this is reading it the way that you are saying that it does. Thank you, Chair Jordan.
Representative Cardi, Ms. Berger.
Thank you. Great points, Ms. Representative Mueller. The intention was like you described it, so the language needs to be tightened up there.
And it's being laid over, so we can continue to work on it. Representative Keeler, did you have a question? It's okay if you don't. Okay. Representative Bennett.
Thank you. And Representative Clardy, good bill. By the way, I'm signing on to your bill. I think it's excellent. I know reading is the most critical subject for our schools, for students, for all of us, because you have to be able to read to do everything else, whether it's math, science, history, any of those things. So zeroing in on dyslexia is a critical component as well. I appreciate everybody who's been working on this. I wanted to just share briefly, this will date me, but you know, I retired from teaching 12 years ago. Well, when I went through college way back, I mean, I graduated in 1980 with my elementary ed and preschool, and then I went to a year of graduate school for special ed. I learned all of my reading instruction with my special ed in graduate school. I really did not get it. Now, I know training, teacher prep has changed throughout the years, but I know it needs a lot more work. And so, Representative Keeler, you're spot on when you talked about teacher prep, because that's where we really need to hit it. And then, touch on it as needed with these couple of hours of training. So I do hope that we'll continue to work on teacher prep. And even throughout my teaching career, I mean, I stumbled upon a book, it was called Phonographics by two special ed teachers, and it transformed the way I taught reading and actually reached more students. So we need to be intentional about our instruction in reading, and we need to be intentional on how we train our teachers and those expectations. So thank you for this.
And before we lay this bill over, we do need to adopt the DE. I hope members have had enough time to review it. Are there any questions to the DE amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the DE amendment say aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. The amendment is adopted. And with that, I will lay over House File 60 as amended to be reconsidered at a later date. Thank you, Representative Cardi, for a great bill.
Thank you, committee.
So, members, the rest of the bills are bills we have already had member discussion on, we have taken testimony on, and so we're not going to do the musical chairs game of shuffling things around. We're just going to do things from the desk, and I have talked to Chair Bennett, and she's in agreement with that. And so the first bill we're going to go to is House File 3067, which, as you will recall, was my bill related to paraprofessionals and making sure that we have highly qualified paraprofessionals in our classrooms. Thank you to all the members that signed on as co-authors. Any discussion to House File and the motion, and I will make a motion to move House File 3067 before us to be re-referred to the General Register. Questions or discussion? Chair Bennett.
Thank you, Chair Jordan, for this bill. I think it's a good bill, and I'm going to vote to move it to the General Register. I would encourage all of us to do so.
Thank you. Great. Well, that being said, I will re-renew my motion to move House File 3067 to be recommended to be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. Okay, the next bill before us is House File 3730. Members, this was the governor's education policy bill we heard on the 11th. Any discussion to this bill? Chair Bennett.
So this is the entire MDB.
Yep. Oh, and I need to make a motion to move House File 3730 before the committee to be recommended to be placed on the General Register. Okay. So to that motion and the bill, Chair Bennett.
So in its current form, there's a number of components that my team and I do not support, so I guess I wouldn't recommend sending it to the general register in this form.
Okay. Well, seeing no more discussion, I will make the motion to recommend to re-refer House File 3730 to the general register. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
The motion does not prevail. And next, I will move House File 3638 before us. Members, this bill contains provisions for educator licensing, rulemaking, and professional development requirements for mental health, among others. I move this before us to be re-referred to the general register. Representative Hill, this was your bill. Do you have anything to add? It's okay if you don't.
No, just that Dr. Bailey is here with us if people need more clarification on the bill and the components of it. It's a good agency bill and increases efficiency.
Any discussion to the bill? Chair Bennett.
Thank you, Chair Jordan. I guess I'd have to say the same thing in its current form. We have concerns about certain areas, support others, so I would at this point not recommend moving this on. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no more discussion, I will make the motion to re-refer House File 3638 to the general register. Yes, that's the right number. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The motion does not prevail. And then I think that concludes our official agenda for the day, but this is our last Education Policy Committee meeting. I see the tears in everyone's eyes, especially in the audience and the people at home who are watching. But I do know that this is an important committee, and we do really important work. This is where I think I think the people at this table think that education is the most important committee, and they are all right. And so I know some members wanted to say some concluding remarks, and I will start with Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Chair. Co-chairs, I will say, in this committee. It is actually sad. There are actually tears in my eyes because I have been on the policy committee my entirety of serving, and often when people like are quick to move to the finance table because they think policy is not where it's at, I disagree, because I really think that, you know, this is the only policy-only committee that we have in the House, and I have always believed that there's a lot of value in us looking at the policy. Not everything is fixed by just throwing money at something. And I think that the one thing I can say about this committee and the way this committee has always worked is I do believe we've set an example of obviously standing firm on our side and what we believe, but that we've been genuine about trying to be bipartisan to find solutions for our kids. I think more than any other committee I've been on in my 6 years, we have more kids show up here to participate in democracy. And I just want to encourage the youth who have come in the time. It is powerful to hear that message. I want to encourage our youth to continue to show up, to be part of the solutions. And I'm just really honored to have spent time doing work here. We have done really amazing things together. We have crafted bad legislation and fixed it together. We've made those mistakes, you know, as we've gone through the work here. We've sat on task forces, you know, in the interim when we didn't need to be here because we've cared about moving forward in a good way bipartisanly. And I just hope that that message and that feeling stays true at this table, because it's not about us. It's not about the adults in the room. We're here to make decisions for the next generation. And I think our education systems are better when we do work to find solutions together. And so thank you for your leadership. Chair Bennett, thank you for your ability to work with me over the last 6 years to do things better together, even though we've maybe pushed each other in uncomfortable ways. We have done good together. I appreciate the earrings you've gifted me. Those things really matter to me, and those are lifelong relationships that we have in this work, knowing that in the time that we served, I believe we've done good. So Wopida, thank you for all of the energy and time. Thank you to our staff. I think our staff gets overlooked a lot. Anytime we do amendments, anytime we want a bill hearing, we have to work with our staff, and I'm so grateful that we continue to have dedicated and really intelligent staff working alongside us to make us look better than what we really are in some of these spaces. So thank you.
Would anyone else like to make comments before we go to chairs? I will actually start and then let Chair Bennett have the last word. I want to start, so I can't forget, to thank our staff. I want to thank our DFL staff, Wilson Lee, our committee administrator, Chloe Keller, our CLA, and Lauren Sabes, our researcher from DFL House. Thank you to Republican staff. And thank you so much to Christina Para and Tim Strom for all of the questions that you answer for me and all of our committee members and all of the people in this room. I want to thank every single person who showed up to testify, even if it was against a bill that I was authoring. That work matters. This committee work is where we do our best work in the entire House. And I think this is where we can actually dig deep and have those conversations. This is the foundation of, you know, you don't build a house without a foundation, and committee work is that foundation. Thank you everyone for your patience with me as a first time chair. There's always a lot to learn, so I just want to thank you all for being really great committee members, for coming and showing up and being prepared, and for caring so much about our kids. And so I don't know, Chair Bennett, I know you have something to add, so I'll let you have the final word on our committee.
Thank you. Well, it's been awesome and a blessing to work with all of you. And I'm speaking to every person in this horseshoe and those sitting on the edges here. What a great team. And, you know, we can passionately disagree about policies and solutions and so on. And this team has done that. And yet we can also just treat each other respectfully and have good conversations. And I've appreciated that from every person on this team. And thank you for that. I want to say, you said it also, more people, but a special thanks to Mr. Strom and Ms. Para. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. Absolutely not. And Mr. Lee and Mr. Withers, we wouldn't be able to do it without you two either. And I definitely wouldn't know when to bang that gavel, you know, at the appropriate moments and all those things. So thank you for that, and our other staff, Chloe and Morgan and so on. So it's been a pleasure. And I'll just say, some of the areas that we've touched on that our team finds a priority, and I believe it's a shared priority, are things like the science of reading and literacy, which we already heard some of that. Evidence-based math, reading and math are just so critical. Educator licensing, teacher prep, and so on. Charter schools and innovation, and school safety. And these are areas that I think we can continue to work on, obviously. We did a lot of listening this year, but I think listening is important. Like you mentioned, we had testifiers. We had people with expertise in different areas, and as legislators, I think we need to listen more than talk a lot of times, and I believe we did a pretty good job at that in this committee. So thank you, everybody, and Chair Jordan, I want to thank you. You're an awesome person to work with, and it's been a pleasure to serve with this team, so thank you.
Well, with gratitude, this meeting is adjourned.